good.
Specify time of day.
NWSL Weekend Warriors, we're back. It's the Two Dudes, One Ball podcast with our very famous special guest and host of her lovely short-term video blog, Cascadia Soccer Collective. It's Carla.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Carla was able to make it in from her native Chicago for the NWSL opener. So we were here mostly for the Thorns Pride postmortem. We'll also probably talk about some of the other NWSL action, mostly the Reign losing. Why not?
Yeah.
Hey, screw you, Reign. And, of course, NWSL had to have a bunch of advertising and PR fuck-ups, so happily talk about those.
Bert.
All right, and just as a reminder, we are on Twitter at Two Dudes, One Ball. You can catch Carla and all her lovely ramblings at PDX44. My personal account is at Michael L. White. And Ryan, our not here because he's too busy having fun on the coast, regular co-host is at RyanMB30. Screw you, Ryan. Screw you, Tottenham. How dare you win 0-4 today against Stoke? That's pathetic.
All right. Be like Liverpool and lose 6-1 against Stoke.
Yes. This is an amazing friendship. Everton and Liverpool pretend scoose Americaners enjoying each other's company and not throwing...
Yeah, it's hard.
It is, yeah. Especially when your sister writes for a blog for that.
I'm trying really hard not to throw something at you right now. It's going pretty well.
So we were... lovingly at the Thorns, wonderful opener.
It was great.
Yeah. 2-1 win, goals by Brynjar's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Brynja's daughter, thank you.
Brynja's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say it faster, it's like always goes easier,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. People can hear the errors less.
Absolutely. I suppose that's why in English cities, they always like throw three syllables out. Not
yeah.
Cheltenham.
Just don't need them. Just don't need them. Yeah. Same faster.
So we were fortunate that we had a couple scares with Morgan actually running around and mm-hmm. trying to attack the back line, that she was otherwise not really involved.
You know, I thought that her running around, she had one good attempt, and it made Betos look good. And I think that's fantastic, because we need Betos to get her confidence up, to have a strong season. We've got Franch in there, so with Betos having a good game.
Yeah, definitely some competition.
Yeah, so, you know, it was okay.
Just that scary through ball, sometime in the second half. I don't know if that was around the 60th minute. I think it might have been after the second goal. Anyway, yeah, that was scary as crap.
Yes.
Wait, no. As we are not editing this. I think that led to the throwout that led to the next goal, I believe, in the rundown. Because she went ahead in the through ball, and then there was a long rolling pass out to the right back. And then I guess we got lucky on the second goal anyway. There was the header that deflected away, and Tobin was able to get first touch on it straight to Horan.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah. If you're one-on-one with the goalie with, like, probably 17 yards away, I know you want to say put it on target, but I get to the point where there's so many terrible shots with not enough power. Just put it past the keeper and pray it stays on target.
And it was great that, you know, the two goal scorers were two of our new people, and it just made it seem like we made the right choice to have these new people brought in. Giving up so many, five of the starting players for the Orlando Spirit, as they're affectionately known in Providence Park.
Strike number one against NWSL PR.
Keeping a tally. It was nice to see that, you know, basically, I tweeted this, but basically it was the 2016 Thorns versus the 2015 Thorns, and the 2016 Thorns won.
Absolutely, yeah. Catley was dangerous, but maybe not the most dangerous on the day. Jasmine Spencer from the Flash last year looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I assume she was involved in the expansion draft, because I assume they wouldn't have wanted to give her up otherwise.
Oh, yeah. She was great for them. I remember being surprised that she left them, but I guess Western New York did a lot of restructuring.
Yeah, and Paul Riley seems to be a guy that likes to stick with his, even if that's at the expense of maybe not expanding his scouting knowledge, but... Mm-hmm. He's got his own win. We might talk about that later. I think the thing that was great, you know, you talk about Tobin Heath all day, but that first goal, or even before the first goal, she's trying to nutbag. She's just idling down that far goal line, trying to throw balls in, and it's great. You know, she tucks it in inside the six-yard box. First gal, I think it was Nadim, falls down, but she puts it in a position where at least two people can get a touch on it.
Yes, she had a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And she showed up big for us. Two assists and just entertained, I think, is the most important thing. She was such a thrill to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And you could tell she was putting her heart into it, which is really great to see, especially in a year with the national team having a huge tournament, you like to see that they're putting a lot of effort toward their club teams.
I love it. There's certain things that I can't stop harping about. And one of those things is, if you're harping positively in this case, is just put the ball in a position where multiple people might have a stab at it. Mm-hmm. And we were a lot better in this game versus, I say, for the core of the last year, especially at home, where we don't do the first errant cross in. Her and Horan and a couple other people, Weber at the end of the game, would hold the ball up and make sure there's at least one person or two people preparing to do a run in. As Nadine didn't look that great, but she was constantly creating visual communication to say, hey, I'm probably going to make this run. Yeah, we had a lot offsides, but I don't
her specifically.
Yeah. Early. I mean, I don't... Janana Widner had a great preview article saying the evil G word and gelling, but I'd say they did pretty good.
I mean, you got to think at least a couple of them have played with each other at some point. Maybe not all of them together, but, you know, Tobin has played with Lindsay both on the national team and with PSG.
That's true, yeah.
Lindsay even played with Allie for a little bit. You know, I mean, so it's just kind of trying to fit all the pieces together when these players are familiar with each other's styles. I mean, there was definitely room for a lot of improvement, but there were signs of the team going in the right direction. And just a different style of play. And I'm wondering if Tobin Heath wearing the captain's armband maybe played a role in her, you know, just the confidence level she had. She had a really good game, and there have been other games where she's just too busy kind of doing cute little moves that she kind of misses the opportunity to really get a good cross in or put a ball in a good position. And she did not have that problem today.
No, probably for the
yesterday.
And it's certainly nice to have her and Kling on the same side
of
the field, having two people that work literally the entire season together, you know, national team and otherwise. They obviously worked really well together.
Well, was it you that pointed out yesterday, I think it might have been, who they were playing so thin on the right side because all the effort was on the left side? I mean, you can tell why. We're so much stronger on the left side. But...
yeah, playing that opposite, very compact. Paul didn't seem to want to do that much last year, so you have basically a wing who's essentially playing safety valve on a overly shot off cross to the wrong side of the field. I'd rather, you know, worst case scenario, it falls out of bounds and in your attacking third and they have to take a while to play out of the back. Although, yeah, with Morgan working, actually running around like she, with the, you know, she don't see, never saw that really in Portland except for the last 15 minutes of her one start of the year last year. It's good to see her running around.
Yeah.
But Betos did a pretty good job. Betos, Mangus, having the back, their defender to the back and not getting nervous, not screwing up.
Our defense looked really good because we had our, you know, our four defenders, but then Allie and Lindsay worked really good together back there as well. I mean, and even Lindsay was making some great defensive plays. She made a really great save. I mean, it was impressive to see how quickly they adjusted defensive to offensive the whole. I mean, and then, you know, Kling was playing pretty high, too. Yeah, I mean, it's just so weird to see the difference in coaching styles between Paul Riley and Parsons and, I guess, all of them.
Yeah.
Interesting to look at that.
I mean, we do have a better set of... we have, better depth with the core. Potential, anyone who can play holding midfield. But there seemed to be a lot of enjoyable freedom between the Horan and Long to do what they needed to do to slot back and look like they're the third center back or to kind of run around and attack. I can understand why they had the power rankings as us number one overall in some regards, even though Houston had more goal output, is that we didn't really put it all together and we still look pretty damn good.
Yeah, there were flashes of genius that I think if we can keep going in the direction we're going, it could be a really good season.
Yeah.
And I'm just really glad Alex Morgan didn't score. Just cards on the table.
Yeah, it was not a great angle on that attempt to take that would have been the lead at that point. She should have probably put skied it a little bit more versus I think it came off of Betos' shoulder there on the near side post. So she still has some work. Having her as a captain seems odd, though.
It does. Because I think the biggest criticism of Alex Morgan, and even some of her biggest fans would say she's a very smart player, but there are moments where she won't put in the effort. And I think that's got to be the captain's number one responsibility, is always putting in the effort, always driving at 110 miles an hour. And I think that's why someone like Kat, you know, for us or Sink or Chrissy Rampone make great captains because they're always putting in the effort. They're always digging deep. But Alex sometimes doesn't. So I don't know. I don't know who would have been. Maybe Becky Edwards would have been a good captain for them.
Yeah.
She's, you know, kind of a really experienced, really determined player. But.
Yeah, and not that I can say this without being refuted by somebody else, but it feels like if you want to have a striker as your captain, maybe it's better to have someone who's going to play a little closer, like a target forward mm-hmm. who's going to have his back to the goalkeeper and then facilitate and orchestrate that way, maybe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it seems like it's a midfielders or center backs up the middle position.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, besides that, good news. Obviously, having everyone's expected dead last, number 10, having Sky Blue win their first freaking game on the road against the team who hadn't lost 24 straight there.
Incredible.
Rain going down.
Incredible.
Heck yeah.
I am the first person to forget that Sky Blue is even a team. So to see them beat Seattle at Seattle, especially after that Hope Solo penalty save, just a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Just a beautiful thing.
Goals by two players that hadn't played for multiple years in a row.
Yes.
Tasha Kai, is it? And
yes.
Kahn Heaney, the former Va Tech superstar, but she had concussion issues. I'll link to a nice ESPNW article from 2013 talking about her issues trying to get back on the field. So that made that kind of... You can pull on the neutral heartstrings that way. So made the open tryouts to start. And, you know, if you get Rodriguez and working well in attack, Erica Skrosky, a lot of people seem to really... some of the Northeast journalists saying how much they love her from mm-hmm. her college days. But, I don't know, they have a mini core there.
They
don't stay too in.
They do. Yeah. I was... I don't know. I'm hypercritical of Sky Blue, but... If they can pull out that win against the right now, do we think that this is Sky Blue having a good core team and making some good offseason decisions and unconventional offseason decisions? Or do we think that the Reign have lost Megan Rapinoe, lost Steph Cox, and they're, you know, the core of what made them so good the last two seasons is maybe just dwindling?
That's a great point. In the Keeper Notes or in the Mixed Zone podcast interviews with local journos and their NWSL previews, they had the great point of saying how Laura Harvey has her group of people that she trusts, and they rotate positions. That's really good when you have several good players that can maybe fill admirably in another position, but when you start losing those players' injuries,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to count on more. Carson Pickett should have been, as with her acumen, probably should have been a little bit more involved, especially in the second goal that Kahn Heaney scored. That was kind of errant. Started with a bad... kick out by Solo, but the cross in is on the end line. You got to make sure you do something better to help out Solo. She did get a nick on it, but it wasn't enough. It went straight across the goal to wide open Kahn Heaney.
And they all lived happily ever after. That's Seattle losing. Of the Thorns fans, we were in line before the game started to get into the stadium when we were all checking our Twitter feeds to find out the score of the Seattle game and celebrated right before going into the Thorns home opener. So it was a good way to start the season for us.
Absolutely. That's as insane of a result, or even when it was still in progress, as, you know, if you're watching a 15-2 or something in an NCAA tournament. It's just kind of mind-boggling. You look at Sky Blue, you see how they spend their off seasons and the lack of improvements, and you're like, is this team going to fold in a year or two?
Yeah. I mean, it's true, though, right?
Because
when you see them dragging their feet on making a head coach decision when it comes to, you know, you've got the draft coming up, you've got, you know, you need to make trades, and it seems like they don't even care about the person who's going to be in charge to make all these big decisions.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, but then they, you know, they have a great showing, and then they do something like sign Natasha Kai, who is, you know, a big fan favorite for many, and had a great run with the U.S. Women's National Team when she played there decade ago, I want to say.
I think it was 2000. The S7 might have been the last I think I saw.
It's nearly a decade ago.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So it's been a while for her. And then they sign her, and it's a great just morale boost. And you know what? She scored their opening goal. So,
yeah.
Hey, good choice. Boston, on the other hand, I don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of chances that could have gone against them to lose more than the 1-0 they did
mm-hmm.
in the NWSL's Blurovision game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like a freaking VHS recording of a WUSA game, the feed. Oh, my God.
I think I could have taken off my glasses and the blurriness would have improved a little bit. It was so bad.
Absolutely.
It was embarrassing.
It's like they're begging you to take some illegal drugs or something to see if you can fill in the extra pixels or something.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And, you know, Michael and I discussed just the idea of possibly having some sort of paid fee, something marginal, just to go towards the infrastructure of better camera equipment, because we got spoiled last summer with all the great World Cup coverage, and coming back and trying to watch the NWSL games, even though they're free and that's a great gift and not all leagues have that, it's just a bummer to try to watch blurry, crappy vision. And you know it's going to be the same for Sky Blue in their facility, so it's like we've got to improve it.
Yeah, I think they need to send out flyers, maybe season ticket holders, anyone that does the team newsletters or something, team promotional emails, to maybe do a survey. It's like, if we had to charge, how much would you value better infrastructure, better quality, mm-hmm. and better uptime?
Yeah.
I don't know. And another thing that annoyed me was, I do love Paul Riley, and it was cool to see him win against we don't know how they're going to look, FC yeah. Kansas City game, mm-hmm. but they kept replaying a easy save against a Western New York attack, and you completely missed the penalty that happened.
Yeah, embarrassing. Yeah,
especially missing one and only showing maybe one replay in the time. It was a semi-questionable right. Handball. It was something you definitely could call, but something I don't often see called at the American level
right.
against Sauerbrunn. But hey, New York Flash held on, got a W there. More weirdness. What do you think of FC Kansas City? You think their attacking might hold up with everyone Kragers?
I mean, no, I don't. How can you possibly think that they would be even close to on par with what they were the past three seasons when Amy Rodriguez is gone, Sydney LaRue is gone, Lauren Cheney / Holiday is gone? I mean, even if you disregard Amy Rodriguez and Sydney LaRue, Lauren Holiday was the one that was creating all those chances. She was the heart of that, you know, the offensive pressure of that team.
Yeah.
She could have helped anyone score. She was so good, you know? And yeah. without her.
Yeah, if you get a free kick from 50 yards out, you think, you know what, in the dying minutes, we could probably snuff a goal out of that.
Yes, yes. And when you lose the two players who are supposed to score goals and the player that creates the opportunity to score goals, I mean, unless one of these other players steps up big time, there's just no way there is great as they were. And I mean, they have the defense. I mean, they only lost 1-0.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have the defense to keep the games low scoring. It's just, how are you going to score goals at yeah. that point?
Press your entire team, including your back two, to the edge of half line and just try to play possession and beat the crap out of people? I have no idea. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be rough for them. And I mean, I hope they prove me wrong, because it would be impressive if they did. But yikes. And it's great to see the way all of the big wigs from last season are not... I mean, the two teams that were in the final last season lost this week.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's good to me yeah. to see a shakeup in the standings, because you don't want to see FC Kansas City win a third year in a row, because that's boring.
No. Some of that's probably due to, you know, various factors of depth. Maybe some of it's due to the expansion draft and having to mm-hmm. choose who you can keep a hold of. But either way, it's fun.
Yes, it is. It's exciting.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to keep beating down on Sky Blue and Boston all year. Hopefully Boston can scare a couple people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they definitely play spoilers at the end of the season when they've got nothing left to lose. They can... I remember they did it to the Thorns two seasons ago when we should have beat them and they beat us 2-0, and it helped us, you know, try to get our playoff push in the last game against Seattle. So they can definitely...
Yeah, and they played a great offside trap in the away game last year against... And that was the offsides gate with Ali Long last mm-hmm. year that started this whole problem.
Mm. When she was offsides again yesterday, though I don't think she was. I don't think she was.
No, everything I've read and everything I've seen, it's...
Yeah.
I think you have to prove pretty well that it was offsides mm-hmm. for me. Because I see every... You know, watch a Premier game, watch a Championship or La Liga game. It's like, if it's a little bit, let it go. Mm-hmm. If it's a full shoulder and a head, then yeah. give it a call.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see a replay of it. I just saw it live. But everything I have seen suggested that she was onside. And that's, you know, it's a bummer, because I'd like to see her get her confidence up, especially if she's playing so deep back. See her score a goal. That yeah. would be nice for her.
Absolutely. And Houston-Chicago turned out a little bit. It was a fun back-and-forth game with four yeah. goals, but I don't know.
Who thought Houston would win that one?
I kind of did.
Yeah?
Mostly with my bias of Amber Brooks holding the line together. Their back line doesn't look that impressive to me and my not knowing everything in the world about every player eyes, but their offense worked really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with Morgan Brian, I believe she was out and she hasn't appeared for the women's national team for a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but yeah, you still got Lloyd, still got Ojai. They're good.
And the two new kids for them scored in their opening appearance. So that's, I mean, it's great. I like when teams...
Oh, Daly's goal, yeah, it was fantastic.
Fantastic, first touch. Yes. That was really good. I think didn't she assist on the third goal?
Yes, you're absolutely right, yeah.
So, good choice for them. It's good to see teams win at home, especially when we're talking attendance stuff for Houston's attendance going down for their home opener, to see, you know, them score a lot of good goals and have an exciting game. Hopefully that just helps.
Yeah, they had at least something around 8,000. Have a nice high scoring output. We get people interested with all the badly timed, but still, otherwise, at least the logo was nice for the announcement of the title game.
Yes.
It's a nice venue. I mean, there will be plenty of Portlanders and other people that might otherwise be neutral depending on the season mm-hmm. ends up thinking about going.
Yeah. I like that they made that announcement early. There's nothing wrong with a third-party venue as long as it's announced early and you can get as many people as possible to go.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of that, you know?
Somewhere in the second half of the rain broadcast on YouTube, they were asking between the color commentator and the play-by-play what they thought. And they kind of lent, probably with ill will, towards not having it in their stadium for last year's title game and that loss. But they were leaning towards that. They liked the idea of having it at the local venue, but if you're going to have it at the local venue, don't have it the very next week is my qualm for most of it. You can also talk about scheduling, even with 2 weeks isn't enough, or being at Star firing exactly a whoop-dee-doo if it has to be there, or even at crappy Memorial Stadium. But yeah, I'd say rotate it. I would even be open if they could afford it to having it at other neutral sites in the future that aren't necessarily related.
Maybe somewhere they're thinking of going, like somewhere like Salt Lake City or something like that. They're talking about possibly doing an expansion there.
That's a fantastic idea. Yeah, do it at Rio before they build up their new $50 million group of stadiums and complexes. That would be awesome, yeah.
Build some support where, you know, people are thinking of going. Sorry,
Your phone buzz.
I know, I'm sorry. There was... There was talk last season about a Salt Lake expansion.
Yeah, there would definitely.
So, I mean, if you want to encourage fans to, you know, show up to that team.
Almost like a collegiate recruiting trip, but for investor growth, in a sense.
Yeah. As long as you announce it ahead of time, I'd just as soon buy a ticket to Salt Lake as I would to Houston, so long as I knew 6 months in advance of that's where the final is going to be.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier on us poor people.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone's hedging their bets, essentially, right? That their team is going to be in it, and if you want to go to the final, you're going to go to the final. So,
probably also good to have Chicago and Kansas City be using better facilities so that they can... I would assume those two will fight it out for next year's neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? I look forward to that. I don't know what to make of the rest of NWSL's marketing and PR arm. Getting all the way to the tweeting debut of FC Kansas City's championship rings, completely dyslexing the name of the league.
Oh, it's so bad.
NSWL. NSWL. And then they delete it. They don't even, try to, I don't know, play it off as funny or something.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it for, 18 to 24 hours or more after the podcast, you know. Just I think they announced earlier today that they're going to get them redone.
Oh, did they announce that?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. That's fantastic. Good. Because hilarious. Now, I wonder if it was an error on the ring maker or if it was an error of the Kansas City person who sent the design. And
I would hope someone will delve into that. Because, I mean, if it's like a company like Balfour that handles these things, and I guess at this point it doesn't really matter who we're hanging it on.
Yes.
Everyone screwed up technically.
Because no one who tweeted the picture thought this is a bad idea. There's a typo on it. Maybe they didn't even notice it. Maybe that's what happened is they didn't even see it until someone pointed it out to them. But that's even worse.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it's on social media and someone.
Come on.
Yeah. And then the phrasing campaign. There's a lot of bad phrasing in lower level sports, and the Fert gate.
Fert gate.
You want to call it?
Yes.
You know, misspelling stronger and faster, and then throwing Fert for further. That was retarded. We're so close to fart.
Furter.
Especially with, you know, running athletes' propensities to eating pasta before the game. And carbs definitely lead to the toots.
You know what? It would have made more sense than Fert.
Absolutely. If you're going to go that far, then, you know, have Beano on, like, the armband as an extra sponsor.
Yes. Gosh. Mangoes and Beano. Furter. Farter.
This podcast wants to be by mangoes. Delicious mangoes from the Florida Mango Board. I don't know. Everything is dumb, but sometimes struggling sports that are doing it are dumb because they can't afford to have actual arms of people. Like, I've been in various other sports. If you need to hire a new coach, you hire, you know, a mid six figure firm to find you that coach. And This, I suppose, in a league like this, even if it's about who's available, who's desperate, and who do we know from various contacts?
Paul Riley.
Absolutely. A guy who actively wanted to be a little bit closer to home for the sake of families, for sake of maybe his wife or something. It makes perfect sense, but that doesn't, you know, but you still want inspired hires, especially when you have a team that is going to be as young as his is.
Yeah. I want to meet the person who does marketing for NWSL, because it seems like there's so many things that could just be looked at with a second set of eyes and someone would go, that's going to be, you know, a target range on Twitter. So just don't Fert. Like, let's just think twice about this. Yes? Don't. Let's just think twice. Maybe don't announce the venue announcement during the first game. Maybe don't do that. Just, there's little things that they
can do. The first game
say.
Not being at said host. Yeah,
exactly. It's just, come on, guys. Come on. This is every year there's something just silly that it could have been avoided. No one would have made fun of the strong her whatever campaign if the last thing wasn't Fert. No one would have noticed it. But because he did something stupid, everyone noticed it, and it's not for a good reason.
Absolutely. At least just don't highlight in purple the Fert. I don't know. But I will say the logo for the title game looks nice.
Yeah.
It's certainly basically a reimagining of the league logo, but it was done nicely. The cityscape of Houston looked really pretty. Doing it in advance means less screw-ups, and I don't know. I suppose they'll probably screw up the lead-in, you know, in various media, or they won't have, or Jeff Blush will show up at the 11th hour to, hi, I'm going to do mine. I'll finally have a press conference about this cool thing that I haven't been talking about for 8 months. I don't know. There is still a lot to do.
I forget that Jeff Plush is a person sometimes.
Yeah, you almost think like he's a facsimile for several other people if you hadn't seen him live on NWSL draft.
Ryan doesn't believe that Jeff Plush is real either. So the fact that he showed up for the Orlando Spirit announcement, like the team announcement. You think he was there, and Ryan was taken aback. He's even real.
Yeah, I didn't realize I had followed him sometime last fall until he actually released a tweet a week or two before, or a couple days before that conference call. It's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to undo you because I don't really need people that, you know, lazy Twitter people are not worthwhile following.
Mm-mm.
No. Or if you're going to not post every few weeks or months, do it like Sinead or Mana and do something funny.
Exactly, yeah.
And unfortunately, well, I believe it was in the last podcast, Ryan and I talked about the TV deal, but rather than do something in the off season to allow games to start be advertised right away, and this is kind of a dead period between, you know, the early talk for NFL drafts or NBA playoffs are just barely starting, why don't they start throwing them on FS1 and ESPN2? Mm-hmm. But no. Instead, we have to wait till September again, where no one will be paying attention as much. You know, you have baseball run into the playoffs, you'll have NFL week, okay, it'll probably be week one or two at that point. They could have done that better.
Yeah. July wouldn't have been a great time to have a few games there, because then the excitement is building for the Olympics. You know, you're not running into that, you know, I guess, who is it? Is it Fox? Is it Fox?
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess NBC is doing the Olympics, but they could have, you know, there's excitement around it. So they could have banked on that. I guess doing it after, but it's going to be several weeks after when the first game. It's just silly. The way they make decisions sometimes is confusing. Yeah.
The it was noted that the network will take care of the costs of doing the actual broadcast. And like, well, yeah, that's kind of how sports work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, NBA sells the rights to air their trademark stuff in live action for $5 billion. So you pay them and you do your own stuff too. That's just how it goes. We don't, it shouldn't be something that should be in the talking point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess desperation can be a stinky cologne sometimes. Oh, well, we'll get there. I hope.
Jeff Bush
be
reeks of it.
Yeah. Like you were talking about meeting the people doing the marketing. It's like what we probably would do is we'll just meet them, see their workload of other things related to this, whether they're doing their own third-party firm, doing something for another parent club, doing something for a media arm that they do as their own passion. And, yeah, the stress is probably enough for some of these people.
Yeah, and they're probably not getting paid very much from NWSL.
Absolutely right. Like some – even – A few years ago when I first moved out here, I thought, oh gosh, working for the Timbers, that sounds cool, and I found something on an online job posting, but the amount of requirements just to be in like the ticket department and customer sales is like, the number of phone calls per day are insane.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would certainly probably extend that to most marketing arms for NWSL orgs. They're probably doing everything. It's like, oh, can you do Photoshop while you're doing phone calls on season ticket retention? Damn it.
Can't tell you how many phone calls I've gotten from the Thorns, and I don't mind it because I'm glad that they're doing so many phone calls to try to get people in. It's great, but I can speak from firsthand experience that as someone who used to be a season ticket holder, but because I moved, I'm no longer one, they're trying to get me back for like all these different kind of flex plans, single game tickets. I mean, they're sending me all these emails. I mean, it's overwhelming, but hey, they're trying. Yeah. They're trying.
There should be that one nick of the box. I know when I left a Comcast region to move to another area, and they demanded to know, well, why don't you blah, blah, blah. It's like, we don't have you out here. They searched my zip code. Oh, we don't. Okay, well, thank you. We'll make sure everything closes out for you. Bye. They should have done the same thing. It's like, Oh, you're in Chicago. But maybe not take it to the next level and then have Chicago harassing you all the time. Hey, you're new. Welcome.
That wouldn't be the worst idea. Because clearly, season ticket holder, I'm invested in this league. You know what? Hey, I'm going to go to as many Chicago games as I can, as well as many Portland games as I can, as I try to get out here. So it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Another thing that I wouldn't say annoyed, but something that could be done a little bit better is I would prefer to see jerseys out maybe a couple weeks before, maybe during the preseason. And then, the last two preseasons, let's say for the Thorns, you're wearing the black tops, just your basic training shirt that they slap numbers on. It's like, well, if you, in that 2 to 3 week lead-in, if you're starting to wear the new ones, even if you haven't slapped names on them and just numbers, then you're getting people interested. So many times I'll look at new kit debuts, men's or women's, and be like, oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. And then it kind of like a rash, it grows on you. And you're like, I think I'll buy that.
Exactly. And I mean, if you're a hardcore fan, you want to be wearing that year's jersey to the home opener, and if they would have had them for release a month ago, I can guarantee you we would have seen several of them at last night's game. Fortunately, they just revealed them an hour before the game or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it's kind of silly. Yeah. Also, they're not super great, just as a personal, I mean, they're okay.
Yeah, Nike, I can go for hours on this, but Nike's templates tend to be basic. It's like they're handing you what they'll do, they'll make the mock-ups, and you got to probably choose from 1 to 5 or something like that. It's like, that's not quite good enough.
Mm-mm.
Adidas is another entity that's huge, and they do a lot of template stuff, and you see a lot of the same along men's sides, but it's just, I don't know, press them.
Do you think that there weren't enough kit sales last year to decide to make how they had the whole original design last year? Do you think that they just didn't sell as many as they thought they would, so they didn't have a whole original design this year?
It's certainly possible.
Because you don't see too many of them, fans wearing them anyway to the games. At least I don't.
No, I saw more people wearing the away jersey with the three panels of colors. That one I liked right away first, but I actually am considering buying a red from last year now. I think it's getting, if you're going to have a very basic template, try to make the little embellishments good. Like, I liked having the white kind of ringer collar from last year's jerseys, but I think it would have been nice to add like the white stripe on the arms. Little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you're looking at a $90 jersey or $100, I believe it's $105 before shipping with customization at full price, at least on the Thorns side, you want to not tick all those boxes for fans.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have an iffy. It's like, oh, there's one thing that's kind of glaring at me. I knew I could be. Lord knows on this podcast you hear me as a nitpicker, but take that extra mile if you can. Take that extra mile if Nike will let you.
I mean, the new jerseys are good. I like them way more before I realized that Seattle basically had the same thing in a different color, which was frustrating to me.
That was the worst. Try to keep it away from rivals.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. It's probably the only rule in jersey making. You can have as many complaints as you want about the design. Just don't make it look like your arch rival's jersey.
Absolutely. If New Balance covered Liverpool and Everton and they're given the exact same thing, with just the different contrast levels, is like, nope, not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
Silly.
Oh well. Hope springs eternal. Thorns are at the top of the power rankings. And let's see. Not a home game until I believe it is middle of May. So they'll have a nice chance to prove themselves on the road here coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They are at, bloody hell, they are at FC Kansas City. See if they can beat a depleted side next Saturday. Red Stars host the Flash. And Orlando Pride will debut at the Citrus Bowl to invariably break our records.
Yeah.
Houston, that'll be a fun game.
What do you think of that potential for them breaking our attendance record in their first game?
I don't know if I've misconstrued what they expect or what they have. I think I heard the number 25,000. I'm not sure if that's where they're at as a goal or where they're at now. It'd be cool if they could get to 32,000.
I heard, and I don't know how accurate this is, a few people I asked on Twitter and a few people tweeted back at me that they had heard 30,000 sale for the home opener, 7,000 approximate season ticket holders.
Yes, I did hear the 7,000. So yeah, that's an excellent number for a first year entry.
Yeah. To me, it's great to have 30,000 at your first game, but how many are you going to get for your second game, I think, is the most important thing.
Yeah. I think they're going to need to keep prying at everyone, get them interested.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have that little, in a similar vein to Houston having the notch on their sleeve about having the title game, Orlando can start interesting people in their future venue that they're building for next year that both the men and women will play at. So it's like, hey, yeah. You can watch, start by watching our world-class women, start by watching on a half-decent field, and then we're only bound to get better in a more soccer-centric stadium, so that'll be good for them, I think.
Yeah. I'm concerned about them having a hard game against Houston as their home opener, because if fans see them getting their butt handed to them in the first game, I always get concerned about stuff like that, maybe unnecessarily, because if you like soccer, you'll come back no matter what, but I just get concerned about them getting blown out in their first game.
Yeah, especially because they'll need... Sermani is certainly the right guy to do it, but they'll need to hold their composure if they maybe give up too early or something.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved seeing Sermani at the end of the game making them run. I don't know. He's old enough to be extremely old school, but
yeah,
making them all hold themselves to a standard for their quality and for their fitness. So that was cool.
Yeah, that was interesting to see that. Having to run sprints after their loss.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I may have seen it before by other away sides, but it just struck me.
Usually it's like stretching and stuff like that, but they're running.
Yeah. Like watching end of a basketball practice or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you just literally ran like 13 kilometers for some of those midfielders or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't think of anything else. I think we covered everything I can think of.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm so happy that you were able to get out here for the opening game.
Absolutely. Great. I'd be happy to come back anytime you're willing to have me.
Absolutely. And hopefully we will drag ourselves out to Chicago to see you very soon. Red Stars still look like fun.
Yes.
Where it is, my girl. Do love her.
Yes. She is fantastic.
All right. Well, I guess I've covered it with all the screw-ups. Thanks again for listening. Thank you, Carla.
Of course. Anytime.